Welcome to A Mathematical Basis for Reality.
Chris, I think you should tell them that Physical Truth is a book on mathematics and philosophy, and that it's a good story.
We are now in the middle of a pandemic, which has struck the entire planet. The world is all working and trying to find some way to work together. The pandemic has now struck North America. There are thousands of people who are affected. The hospitals in New York have just filled up, and the worst is yet to come. Washington State is in very, very dire straits with people dying. It will be climbing soon to the thousands per day. And in this time, I'm going to continue with another world crisis, which was the beginnings of the Second World War, and continue with the story of Dieppe. We had just heard that England had been preparing for an invasion by the Germans. They were going to keep the King, George VI, at home. He was not going to leave the country. He was going to stay and form a civil war. And probably his young daughter, Elizabeth, who was about 15 years old at the time, was being prepared to succeed her father and running a civil war to retake the throne from Edward VIII if he had been replaced back on the throne by German forces and Nazis. So jumping into it, Germany invades Poland, and the war is on. Apparently, Hitler was actually surprised that England would actually declare war. He was sure he had England in the bag and had no idea of the new power sitting on the throne. Chamberlain was still prime minister and was so committed to appeasement that England's declaration of war was a surprise. So at the beginning, England and France are at war with Germany, Sweden and Switzerland are neutral, and Russia is on the side of the Germans and invading Finland. The reason Russia is invading Finland was to get to Norway, where it was believed an atomic bomb was being made. And this was, of course, unknown to the British. Actually, Russia wasn't exactly on the side of the Germans. They had a peace treaty with them, which they wanted so they can invade Finland to get to Norway and get the bomb, at least so the story goes. Apparently, at the time, England had no idea about the bomb, which is a bit of a surprise, but they knew something was up in Norway. But dealing with the bomb is not so much a part of this story, except the fact that Russia was at the outset was in bed with Germany. And I imagine that Russia also knew they were going to be invaded by Germany eventually, but they really distrusted the British. This is a situation as the curtain rises. At the outset of the war, Britain was planning on what to do if Germany invaded and took the country. It was known that Edward VIII would have been put back on the throne by Hitler, George VI. Bertie had planned that he would not abdicate nor leave England. The plan was that he would lead a civil war against his brother. Of course, there's every likelihood that Bertie would have been killed, and his daughter, 15-year-old Elizabeth, would have taken over as the monarch in a civil war to overthrow her uncle. Even though that never happened, it is a sure bet that Elizabeth was very conversant in military matters, like how to lead a civil war in order to overthrow the monarchy of England at a very early age. During the Battle of Britain, which was an air war involving multiple bombings of London, known as the Blitz, Elizabeth, as a 15-year-old, was not holed up in Buckingham Palace with the rest of her family. She was driving hotshot, delivering aid supplies, ferrying the wounded, and driving people to air raid shelters. From what my old man told me, it pissed her father off to no end. The Germans, led by Hitler, faced a problem of geography at the outset of the war. Germany was in the middle of Europe and did not have access to the open sea. It didn't have that much of an empire of overseas colonies to begin with, and geographically, it was in an isolated position and surrounded by enemies. Just as in the First World War, Germany could be strangled. The saying in China is that war is fought on rice. That is, to feed the troops. And food is an important issue. But for the Second World War, the war would be fought over oil. There were some oil fields in North Africa, agreed, but the biggest oil field at that time was in Azerbaijan, the largest oil field in the world. If Germany could break out of Europe and capture the oil fields of Azerbaijan, the war was over. Germany could hold out forever and use global influence to wear down North America, and England would be toast. So the Germans had to take two fronts into consideration in their planning, as was the case in the First World War. They had to somehow keep Russia at bay on their Eastern Front and knock England out of the war. America was already deemed so as neutral or pacifist and considered out of it. France, Spain, and Italy needed to be secured. Then, and only then, Germany could roll over Russia and take the oil fields vital to win the war. Bertie knew all this. At this juncture, England stood alone against Germany, but not quite alone. England had a huge empire in financial terms. It had enormous raw resources in Canada and Africa, people and resources in India. It had Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. It had a massive navy and free access as an island nation to the sea. But England doesn't, and it didn't, have that big of an army. At the time, their army, with all their equipment, tanks, artillery, and guns with ammunition, were in France preparing for an invasion from Germany. As a side note, the invasion did come, and Germany used the same tactic they used in the First World War. They went north of the Ardennes in a massive display of military might, with airstrikes followed by shelling from artillery, followed by tanks and infantry. All of this moved forward at a remarkable speed, destroying everything in its path. However, this type of attack, known as the Blitzkrieg, has a couple of flaws. One is that fast, reliable communication between air and ground, including mobile armor, artillery, and infantry, is essential. Second is that you need to advance a massive and continuous line of supply of oil, food, and ammunition, and this supply line would be growing fast. Furthermore, this tactic had not been done before on this scale, so things could run into trouble. It was a communication problem that Bertie and his crews of odd people would give to the Russians in Stalingrad. But during the initial blitzkrieg into Europe, Bertie was going to try to exploit the problems of supply. As the Germans were advancing westward into northern France, the British drove south, then east, then north to cut the German supply line, kill the advance of the Blitzkrieg, and encircle the entire German army. It was a brilliant plan and would have ended the war almost immediately, but it too had a flaw, and that was one of secrecy. You remember Edward VIII, Bertie's older brother? Well, he was in the British army, in France no less, and he had access to the British military operations since he was now a high-ranking officer and he knew of the British counterattack. And as a good, obedient Nazi, Ed contacts Hitler and warns him of the British counterattack. Needless to say, the British counterattack runs straight into an ambush and the British forces are trapped at Dunkirk. By a miracle, the troops are evacuated from the beaches of Dunkirk by the British general public, but all the equipment, like tanks and artillery and ammunition, are left behind. So England got her army back, but without military equipment, and could not possibly defend against an invasion. I have wondered why Bertie didn't just kill his brother immediately. I think any of us would have done so, but he didn't. Edward was removed from the army and sent to Lisbon, Portugal, the central exchange for espionage. Using a lot of dummy inflated rubber tanks and plywood, Bertie tricks Hitler into believing England was armed to the teeth and ready for an invasion when she was actually disarmed. And it worked. And the Battle of Britain was on. It was a battle over air superiority and was the first air battle in history. At least the first air battle on this scale. But again, Bertie played Hitler like a fiddle. By this time, Chamberlain is out and Churchill is running the country. and the war. And Edward is in Lisbon, and Bertie knows he is trusted by Hitler, so he lets him live. And of course, the Germans believe the Brits are complete idiots. And in a way, not handcuffing Edward right off the bat was rather stupid when it comes down to it, but it was to be taken advantage of in the end. The Battle of Britain had a deadline for the Germans. They were preparing for the invasion of Russia, and the idea was to knock England out of the war and secure the Western Front. It was an air war. It was an air war, the first in history on this scale. Hitler had to secure the air in order to launch an invasion by sea. To do so, the German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, started to bomb British airfields, and it was working. The British needed airfields within striking distance of the southern British shoreline, and they were being knocked out almost daily. The Brits would have no places to store, fuel, and arm their fighters. And here is where I detect one of the first bizarre intelligent tactics of the war. It is well known that even though the Germans were winning the Battle of Britain in the early stages, Hitler ordered the bombing of London in what is considered one of the worst tactical blunders of the war. We know how Edward was insisting to Hitler that the British were sure to capitulate if the Germans bombed London. Either Edward hadn't a clue about British morale, or he had been fed a complete line of nonsense by someone in England. Someone who would be able to convince Edward that the Brits were shaking in their boots with fear. And that was Bertie. He knew his brother well enough to overthrow the British throne. He knew his brother well enough to convince him that bombing London was a ticket to get him back on the throne again. You see, the German fighters did not have enough fuel to make it to London and back. But their bombers did. Therefore, German bombers were only escorted by fighters part of the way, and the bombers had to continue without a fighter escort to and from London, although the citizenry of London beneath the bombs did not fare that well. The German bombers were being shot out of the sky by the RAF at an enormous rate. Eventually, the Germans could not sustain their losses, and they had prepared for the invasion of Russia by now anyway. The bombing of London brings up an important point. London was not a military target. It was a civil target. It was the first time in the war that a civilian target was chosen over military targets, namely the British airfields. And it cost the Germans the Battle of Britain. More and more, the war was becoming a war of mistakes. Bertie was wrong about not bumping off his brother, and Hitler was duped from erroneous information from Edward. So Hitler abandons the invasion of England and turns on Russia, exactly as Bertie had expected.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you liked what you heard, you may subscribe in your podcast provider and perhaps share in various social media sites. Bruce has promised he won't change the links anymore and screw up trying to find the next episode. Please enjoy the rest of your day and may everything work out for the best. We try to have a new podcast every Saturday, so see you next week.